when I fall to remember. A heartache is just a stepping stone along the path that always winding upward. This troubled world, it's not my final home, but until then, my heart will go on singing. Until then, with joy I'll carry on. Until the day mine eyes behold that city, until the day God calls me home. The things of earth will him and lose their value if we recall our borrowed for a while. And things of earth that cause my heart to tremble, remember them will only bring a smile. But until then, my heart will go on singing. Until then, with joy carry on. Until the day my eyes behold that city, until the day God calls me home. Until the day my eyes behold that city, until the day God calls me home.
That's where we are today.
We're in that until then period. We're headed that way. Paul said that he had been apprehended of something, and he was chasing after that thing that had apprehended him. But at his writing, guess what? He hadn't caught it yet. But he was pressing on. He was continuing on. Amen. And so it is with us. If God has saved us, we've been apprehended, and we are in pursuit. Amen. Until that time, that day when, amen, all of our sorrows, all of our troubles will be no more. When the Bible says that we shall see Jesus, that when we see Him face to face, that we will be like Him. But what do we do in the meantime? We carry on. We carry on. Have your Bibles this morning, the book of 2 Kings chapter number 2. 2 Kings chapter number 2. Beginning in verse number 11. 2 Kings chapter number 2 and verse number 11. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel, and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes, and rent them in two pieces.
He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for the Word of God and for this time we have, and we ask you to help us this morning to be an able minister of the Word of God, that you would speak to our hearts and help us, Father, to speak your Word, that we need to hear today. I pray in Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Amen. If God allows us this morning, I want to look for just a minute on this thought and this question, and that is, where is the God of Elijah? Where is the God of Elijah? Now, having read those few verses and told you what I want to look at, I want to turn back to the book of 1 Kings and read a few verses, because in 1 Kings chapter number 18, it came to pass there that there was a contest. And it was a contest, we might say, between Elijah and the prophets of Baal. But in all actuality, the contest was actually between God and Baal. That was the contest. And Elijah said, "How long are you going to halt between two opinions? I mean, if Baal's God, serve Baal. But if God be God, serve him." And of course, we won't read all of it, but Elijah told the prophets of Baal, and he let them go first. And they made their altar and their sacrifice, and they began to call upon Baal to send fire down to consume the sacrifice that was upon the altar. But then nothing happened. But in verse number 27, it tells us, "And it came pass at noon that Elijah mocked them." Now they've been out here going at this for a while, and Elijah, I don't know, I can just picture him sitting back over and just watching the show. Just watching the show. God help us, you know what a lot of religion is today? It's just a show. Just a show. And God help us, even in the church of the living God, it has become, I'm afraid, a lot of times just a show. God did not intend for the church to be a social club. He did not. But here Elijah sits and he watches them, and he tells them, he says, "Cry aloud, for he is a God." He's talking, or he's pursuing, or he's in a journey, or pre-adventure, he sleepeth and must be awake. So what he's telling them, he said, "You need to holler a little bit louder. I mean, he can't hear you." He said, "Maybe he's talking to somebody else. You need to get his attention. He's busy. Maybe he's in pursuit. He's doing something else." He said, "Or maybe he's just asleep. He's waking up." You see, Elijah knew about the God that he served. He knew that God didn't go to sleep. Amen. He didn't sleep. He was awake. He was listening. He was hearing. And so he tells them this, and amen, they go through and nothing happens. So Elijah, he comes down in verse 31. He took 12 stones and he begins to build the altar. And he built the altar and he put the wood in order and he cut the bullock into pieces and he laid it on the wood. And he's told them to go get 4 barrels of water and to pour that upon the burnt sacrifice and upon the wood. And he told them to do it the second time. And he told them to do it a third time. And so they did it the first time, the second time, and the third time. And you know what? I mean, every time we build a fire, you know what we're looking for? We're looking for some dry wood. I mean, we're looking for something that's going to get this thing started, something that'll burn. I mean, we're not soaking it in water before we try to put a match to it. But Elijah, he told him, he said, you pour those 12 barrels of water on it. And he did, and they poured it on there, and that water, it says that it ran down around the altar, and it filled that trench that they had dug, and everything was in place. And he said in verse 37, hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, that thou hast turned their back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And it said when the people saw it, they fell on their face. So God sent the fire. Elijah prayed, and it must have been, listen, we had a pretty good fire out here the other night, but I don't believe it was this hot. Because not only did it come down, and I mean, all that wet wood that was on there, boy, it dried it out. It burned it all up. He got the sacrifice. It consumed it. But amen, it consumed the very stones. It took it all. He got it all. And the people, they fell down upon their face. Amen. And so, see, we see a few things here that the majority was not right. The majority was not right. The prophets of Baal, there was a lot more of them than it was of just one Elijah. But you know what? God's prophet was, amen, dead on, and God heard and He sent the fire, and that's just one example. And now it is that Elijah is getting ready to leave this world, and what is it? Elisha wants a double portion of what it is that Elijah has had in his life. But, amen, he's told, if you see me when I depart. And so what does Elisha do? Well, he stays close. He makes sure that he's around. And the verse we read, our text in 2 Kings there in chapter 2, verse 11 through 14, gives us what transpired, what took place as the chariot of fire and the horses came down out of heaven and it divided them asunder, and Elijah, amen, was taken away into heaven. And Elisha was there to witness that, and he saw that, and he rent his clothes and he fell down and he cried out. But as he got up, there was something that he done, and he picked up the mantle. He took up the mantle of Elijah. And as he went back to the Jordan River and he asked that question, he said, where is the God of Elijah? Now, the great object of our desire in our Christian life should be for God. That should be our great object in our Christian life, is that we have more of God. That God, that we see God move. Elisha, amen, got to walk with Elijah and he saw him depart. But here in his question, he asks, where is the God of Elijah? Where is he? You see, because with God all things prosper, and all things, the Bible says, are possible with God. God's absence is our decline. Amen. If God withdraws, we're in trouble. Amen. When God's not there, amen, things go awry. David prayed for the restoring of the joy of his salvation. Amen. Because there had been a broken fellowship between him and God. His sin had separated, and what, things were not the same. Neither will they be the same for us. And no matter who it is, when we enter into a work, God's work, a holy work, what we need is, when we're following somebody else, we need the God of those that have gone before. Oh, we can see the example of those that's gone before, but we need to know the God of them that's gone before. And that's what Elisha desired. Where is the God of Elijah? Where is he? I'm thankful, and what a mercy it is that the God of Elijah can also be the God of Elisha. That means that the God of Elijah and Elisha can also be our God. Amen. He was God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and amen, He's still God today. Amen. And He can be our God. Psalms 48 and 14 says, "For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death." You see, God is God, and besides Him, the Bible tells us, there is none other. He'll always be the same. And what we need to do is appeal to Him and to do as we sing, amen, living by what? By faith. To put our trust and our confidence in God. Because see, Psalms also tells us in Psalm 90 and verse 2, "Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God." You see, God's always been God. Amen. He's always been God. Now, I know down here in this old world, we have folks that fight tooth and toenail trying to remove God from everything that they can. You know, we don't want God in the schoolhouse. We don't want God in the courthouse. We don't want God on the display, you know, in the public at the city hall. I mean, we want to remove anything that's God. We want to try to just get rid of God. But, amen, but guess what? You might take stuff out of the city hall. Amen, you might take something out of the schoolhouse. But, amen, try as you may, you cannot dethrone God. He's been God. He's always been God, and He's always going to be God. Amen. Somebody put it, amen, you can't impeach Him, and He ain't going to resign. He's God. And besides Him, the Bible said there is none other. And He tells us, and in great difficulty, amen, when the Jordan River needs parting, who can part it? God can. Psalm 46 and 1, "God is our refuge and strength, the very present help in trouble." Now listen, we are to support and help one another in hardships and in troubles. The Bible tells us that we are to comfort one another with the comfort wherewith we've been comforted. And we are to do that and support our brothers and our sisters in Christ. But amen, here's the thing. When Lazarus died, the mourners came. They came to offer their support and to cry and to weep and to talk with Mary and Martha. They did everything that they could do. They came, but amen, there wasn't but one that could come, that could walk to the grave and speak to Lazarus and say, "Lazarus, come forth." And amen, that was Jesus. Amen, there's not but one that can blow a hole in our Jordan River and let us walk across on dry ground, and that is God. Now, when Elisha went there to the river, he didn't ask, and he didn't say, "Boy, I wish Elijah was here." He might have thought, "Well, it'd be good." You know, I mean, listen, when those are taken, it goes on before. There's many that I could look back on in my lifetime, and I'm sure you can too, of the saints of God that, boy, I was blessed to have them into my life and to watch them and to see. But sometimes we think, and we, you know what, if mama was here, if grandma was here, if granddaddy was here, if old uncle was here, boy, if old brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so, if we could just take it to them, listen, what they tell you today, it's not Elijah that you need. Amen. That's not what he asked for. He didn't ask to bring Elijah back. He asked the question. He said, "Where is the God of Elijah?" That's what he desired. That's what he wanted. And those that has run this race before us that has been our example would tell us this morning, it's not me that you need to come back. It's you just need to see God one more time to move and to minister because He's not changed. God's not changed. He's the same. He can still do. Listen, we talk and I know because I've done it. And thank God for the memories of things and how God has done in the past and the moving of God and maybe a revival or different things that we can remember how it was then. But amen, that does not mean that it cannot be the same today. Because listen, I'm going to just be honest with you. There's some preachers that I like to listen to and I've listened to and I've seen. But there's not one of them that's been the reason. That's been the reason that everybody got help. It's because the God that they served showed up. And amen, and He sent the fire. Elijah prayed. Amen, he was used of God. But amen, it was God. And that's who Elisha appealed to when he said, where is the God of Elijah? Where is God? You see, Psalms tells us in Psalm chapter 44, in verse number 3, for they got not the land in possession by their own sword, neither did their own arm save them, but thy right hand and thine arm and the light of thy countenance, because thou hast a favor unto them. Thou art my king, O God. Command deliverance for Jacob. Through thee will we push down our enemies. Through thy name will we tread them under that rise up against us. For I will not trust in my bow, neither shall my sword save me. But thou hast saved us from our enemies and hast put them to shame that hate us. He didn't say, I'm not going to pick up my bow. He didn't say, I'm not going to carry my bow with me. He didn't say, I'm not going to have my sword ready. He didn't say, I'm not going to fight. But what he said was, is I know that it's not in the bow. It's not in the sword. That's not where my deliverance comes. The Bible says those men that watch the city, amen, the watchman that's watching, that's keeping watch over the city, it does not give us any reason or any excuse not to be a watchman to watch over the city. You keep on watching. But he said, I want to remind you of something. If all you got is watchmen, if that's what you're counting on, amen, they can watch all day and all night. But amen, it's not the watchman that's going to keep the city. It's going to be God. God. Where is the God of Elijah? And where is He? In this hour that we live, where is the God of Elijah? If He's hid, why is He hid? Isaiah says in Isaiah chapter 59, verses 1 and 2, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. All right, so God's not changed. He's not got short arms all of a sudden. He can save. He still can. 2024, amen, God can still save. And so He said it's not that God cannot save. His hands are not short, neither His ear heavy. Amen, God's not got a heavy ear. Last couple of days, we've been celebrating 40-year class reunion. One of the things they got to laughing about with some of them, you know, huh? What? Don't hear so well. Somebody said something and what they thought they heard wasn't what they said at all. But see, that's not God. His ear's not heavy. You don't need to repeat it. God hears. He said so. His hand's not short. His ear is not heavy that He cannot hear. He said, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear. The one thing that sin does, it divides, it separates. And amen. And immediately when sin entered into the garden, there was a separation between Adam and Eve and God. Amen. It came, that separation. And the first thing they did when they heard God coming is they went and hid. Here comes God, let's go hide. Because sin brought separation, it brought shame. And so they ran and they hid themselves. They hid themselves from God. And still today, we mentioned David a while ago. David in his misery when he sinned against God. Amen. It was his sin that separated it, that he spent those times. Why was the joy of his salvation gone? Because sin had separated. Sin breaks fellowship. And he says our iniquities. But you see, the God that heard Elisha's prayer, He must also give us that effectual, inwrought prayer of the righteous man that James speaks of in James 5 and 16, that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Availeth much. But what did Elisha do? Elijah's gone. Well, you know what? Elijah's gone. I think some of the ways that he did things was a little antiquated. You know, we have come a long way, you know, since Elijah was a prophet. And we probably got some better ways to do things. You know what he picked up? He picked up Elijah's mantle. I mean, he didn't go looking for something new. He just used the same thing with the same faith. And he asked God, where are you? Amen. God help us. In this hour, we try to use too many new things. And listen, I know things change. And it's not about the things, and I know everybody's methods are not the same all the time, but God help us. It's the mantle of Elijah. He was content to wear the mantle of his predecessor. He didn't go looking for anything new. What Elijah had was God. The power of God was on him. His life, he trusted God. And what Elisha saw was, guess what? It worked. It worked. And he picked it up. You know what still works in 2024? God. Faith in God. Trust in God. I mean, we hadn't got to invent and create something new. God is what we need. It's what Elisha desired. Where is the God of Elijah? And that's what we need. Where is the God of Elijah? He had watched Elijah's life, and God help us with this, because listen, our children, our grandchildren, they're watching us. They've been watching us. You know why? Amen. What they wonder sometimes, they might wonder, where is God? Where is God? Because of where we are, where we walk. We are the example to them. I mean, is it real? And I've told y'all before, the black pastor that was in the Funiac and he was going to come preach, and they was inquiring about him, you know, just trying to get some information. You don't want just anybody come. And one of the church leaders went down in the community and asked, and just inquired about him. Ask around in the neighborhood. And here was the consensus. This was the view, and I've told y'all I think this before. But when I asked about him, the answer was this. He's real. He's real. Amen. Amen. You know what Elisha knew about Elijah? He's real. He's real. I've seen God move. He's real. And so when he walked back there to that Jordan River, He didn't stop there and say, you know what, I wish old Elijah was here. He'd know what to do. He'd know how to pray. He'd know if I'm able to take up this mantle. He'd tell me what to do. No, he had watched long enough and he knew this. He said, I've seen Elijah, but he said, I know where his power lies. Amen. And so he cried out and he smote that water and he said, where is the God of Elijah? And amen. Turned out he was right there with him. He was there. You know what? How far away is God from us? He's not very far. But amen, sometimes there are some things that keep him just at arm's distance from us. It's not that he don't want to come. It's just that there's some things that's hindering. What I need, what we all need in 2024, amen, we need the God of Elijah. We need him. Because there's some things that's not going to happen in 2024 unless God does it. Amen. I don't care how close we walk. I don't care how much we pray. How many times we go to church and what we... There's some things that's not going to take place in 2024 except God shows up and God blows a hole in that Jordan River and allows us to cross. Or maybe allow some of them to cross from that side to this side. It's going to take God. It's going to take God. And that's what Elisha desired. He desired to see the God of Elijah. And amen, God showed up. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? The old mantle used with faith in the same God. You know what it did? It said, the Bible said, it parted the waters hither and thither, the power of God, the Lord God of Elijah. You know, he told them, Elijah did. He said, cry a little louder. See if you can't wake him up. Maybe he's gone off on a journey. But here's what Elisha knew about Elijah's God. He knew that the God of Elijah, he's not gone on a journey. He's not sleeping. And he's not dead. And he called on God in faith. And amen, the God of Elijah was the God of Elisha. And he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he'll do in 2024. I don't care what the world says, he'll do in 2024. To be our God. As a matter of fact, he's the only thing that we'll do. As you stand this morning, if you have a need, you come while we sing.